Today's gospel is found in the 16th chapter of Matthew's gospel, beginning with verse 13 on page 798. Peter's declaration about Jesus. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Have a seat, please. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So nicknames. Nicknames are kind of a funny thing. I had a man in my church in Minnesota whose nickname was Red. And he's completely bald with a mustache that's gray. And I asked him, it's like, how did you get the nickname Red? Because he wouldn't have like a red complexion or anything. He said, "Well, when I was a kid, I had curly red hair, and it stuck with me all these years." Now he's 65 years old, and he's still being called Red. The closest thing I ever got to a nickname was being called Teeps, which I will answer to, but it didn't really, it's not like people call me that often. My great grandpa, his name was George Bridger Teeples, was a runner. And he was winning a foot race. And someone in the crowd mistook him for another man named Starkey. And he yelled to him, "Run, Starkey, run!" And then the whole crowd started joining this man, saying, "Run, Starkey, run!" And my great-grandpa won the race. And then he found out that he wasn't Starkey. But that became his nickname, Starkey. So nicknames are a funny thing. Today's gospel, we are given the meaning of the name Jesus gave to Simon. It says in Mark 3:16, that the 12 apostles are appointed, and the first one named is Simon, it says, to whom Jesus called Peter. So Simon gets a new name. His new name, Peter, is much more than a nickname because his name is deeply theological and profound. Peter literally means rock in Greek. So Petra is Peter. And he could have acquired that nickname merely by the boat incident we talked about a few weeks back. Remember when Jesus bids him out on the water and Peter walks on the water for a little while, but then sees the waves and the wind, and then he begins to sink like a rock. So it could have been from that, but that's not what Jesus is saying to him today. I'm sure that other disciples might have called him the rock because of that incident. Like, "Yeah, remember Peter when you sank like a rock? That's why we call you rock." But that's not what Jesus is saying here. Peter here in Matthew makes a rock of a confession. Upon this rock, Jesus says, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell," or Hades, "will not prevail against it." Now, I need to go into a little bit of church history here to kind of explain why I believe that the rock in this passage is the confession of Peter and not Peter the person. So, based on this passage, the Catholic Church has perceived that Peter was the first pope, And Peter was because Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church. Peter, the man that all of the successive popes will be blessed and follow the placing of hands placed on one pope to the next, to the next, to the next. But is that what Jesus is saying here? You know, to base your church upon a person is pretty risky. When we went to St. Peter's in Rome, and maybe many of you have been there, it's a massive cathedral. It, as I learned in going there, it's built on the backs of peasants because that's when the indulgences were taking place and they were getting money from the poor people to build this cathedral. So you walk in there and you go, ooh, that's not feeling really that great that they did that. But there's a statue of Peter in the cathedral. It's a bronze statue, and all the pilgrims come, or Catholic, and they rub his foot, kind of saying, I'm here, and this is, you know, Peter's church, and it's kind of this symbolic thing. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, I'm so glad I'm not a Catholic. I love Catholics, nothing against Catholics, but I'm so glad that I know the truth of what I think this confession is all about. We're not building the church upon Peter, the person. We're building the church upon Peter's confession. So Lutherans see this differently, and other Protestants as well. Peter is a rock because he trusts in the rock. Peter's confession is the rock Peter can hold on to as well as we can. Have you ever seen a rock climber? Raise your hand. Have you seen people climbing rocks, climbing a rock wall? Now, have you ever done it? Any of you ever tried to climb a rock wall? Yeah, good, Dean. Yeah, it's hard. Is it kind of hard? Is it easy? Okay, so I've done this a few times, and the thing that I learned right away is that do not do what your body tells you to do, because you think you should, like, try to climb it like this, but if you stick your butt out, you're going to fall. Because your center of gravity then is pulling you away from the wall, not pushing you toward the wall. A rock climber knows that the best way to climb a rock wall or a climbing wall is to keep your body as close to the wall as possible. Because then your center of gravity is pushing into the wall, not pushing you away from the wall. That's a pretty cool image. In fact, when I was doing it that one time or a couple times that I did it, I would hear from below, hug the wall, hug the wall, hug the wall. And because if you don't, you're like falling off and you have a rope and all this harness and everything connecting you. So if you fall, you're not going to die, but you've got to then go back up the place you've fallen down. So the closer you press your body to the wall, the better off you're going to be. Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? And Peter is the only one that answers, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Peter didn't say, well, Jesus, we're still trying to figure that out because it's been kind of confusing, actually, following you around. No, he is absolutely certain at this point that who he is following is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus the Messiah. He's the fulfillment of everything promised. Everything that was proclaimed in the Old Testament, how the Messiah would come, what the Messiah would do, is being shown in his life and ministry. He's the Savior. He's the Redeemer. He says he's light. He's living water. He's bread of life. He's a good shepherd. And what Peter says is what he's commended for. What Peter believes is what he's commended for. And Jesus says to him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. What Peter confesses is the rock upon which the church will be built. And rock climbing wisdom would say, hug that rock. Hold on to that rock. Jesus tells him, I will give you the keys of the kingdom to bind and to loose. In some profound way, Peter will be used by God to do the work of God. A helpful note in my study Bible about this says, it's not his authority or Peter's authority to determine, but to announce guilt or innocence. It's not that Peter is going to be the judge of guilt or innocence, what to loose, what to bind, but he is going to be able to proclaim, announce the good news of Jesus to the world, the keys of the kingdom, to proclaim to the whole world that the gospel of Jesus isn't just for the Jews, it's for the whole world, for Gentiles. And he does that on the day of Pentecost, that Jesus didn't come only for the Jews, but for the whole world. The rock that the church is built upon is not Peter the man, it's the confession of Peter. Jesus is the Messiah, not the way Jesus were expecting the Messiah to come, and that's why at the end of this, Jesus firmly tells them, do not tell anybody that I'm the Messiah, because the Jews were expecting the Messiah to be a national military leader who would drive the Romans out of their country. But Jesus came to be the King of Heaven, defeating death and sin and all that binds people. This passage has a powerful and provocative question that I think is really good and worthy of us to ponder and reflect upon. What about you? What about you? Jesus says, who do you say that I am? What about you? Who do you say Jesus is? Back to the climbing wall. That wall is solid. It's if you're climbing a rock is solid. It's immovable, it's steady, it's strong, it's resilient, it's powerful. And God is referred to as a rock many times in Scripture. One of those is Psalm 18:2. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Who do you say that I am? Peter answers, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Peter is a rock because he trusts in the rock. Peter's confession is the rock Peter can hold on to. So who do you say Jesus is? To those who are transitioning to something new, I'm thinking of Matthew today, as he goes to a new place, reminded that you are my strength and courage, Jesus, as I face something new. A friend here who's going to start college tomorrow, reminding that Jesus is her rock, her strength and courage, that you can face something new. To those battling cancer, who am I, Jesus asks? Well, he's the great physician, the rock that you cling to, the healer. Not always do we see physical healing, but spiritual wholeness is what Jesus gives, the binding and loosing. Hug the rock. To those grieving, we're thinking of many today who are grieving, Lynn Ruby and the Miller family and Annette Knodel's family. Jesus is comfort. He says in Matthew, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. To those who are lost and confused, Jesus is the teacher. He saw the crowds, it says in Matthew 9, and he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. We are not the first people to make this journey of life, and we can be grateful for those who have gone before us and be inspired by their faith, their witness, because they teach us how to navigate this life. And I think they would say, as a rock climber would say, stay close to the rock. Hug the rock. Be very close to hold on to Jesus. In Hebrews, it says it this way. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. fixing our eyes on Jesus. That's what Jesus is telling us to do here through Peter's confession. He asked Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" "You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Peter's a rock because he trusts in the rock. Peter's confession is the rock Peter can hold on to. Jesus is our rock. Stay close and hold on. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you that the imagery of a rock is quite powerful. As we see rocks and mountains all around us, those fixtures are immovable and sturdy and firm. And if we were to attempt to climb one, it would do us well to hold tightly to it. Lord, as we navigate this life, Peter had a great answer to who he says Jesus is. Lord, you are so many things to us, but yes, you are Messiah. You are exactly the one who was to come and has come to show us that you are the Son of God and to teach us, to comfort us, to heal us, to love us, to forgive us. And so today, as we reflect upon the confession of Peter, remind us that as he did, to hold on to this rock, to hold on to you through whatever we face in life, because we are yours and you are ours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.